It's a joy to know the Lord, which brings me to my next point. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But sometimes, maybe, you may feel like you're without joy. Maybe sometimes you may feel that God is far from you. And I'm going to share with you some things about the joy of the Lord today. There is something to know about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is a promise from God, and it is a gift from God, and it is a desire of God for us to abide in His joy. But the joy of the Lord is conditional. It's conditional on an absolute love for God. God says, love Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it also is conditional on an absolute trust in the Lord. Love God and trust Him, and all of these things will fall into place that we're going to talk about tonight. Love God and trust Him, and you will abide always continually in the joy of the Lord, and there is nothing that will be able to shake that, nothing that will be able to move you, nothing that will cause you to fear or doubt or to worry, except if your love for God fades or if you trust in God wavers. That is the only way you can lose the joy of the Lord. It is from within. Nothing without you can shake you from the joy of the Lord. As long as you abide in His Word and in His Spirit, nothing will be able to shake you. Now, joy of the Lord transcends all circumstances. It isn't dependent on things that happiness may be dependent on. You may not get what you want, and therefore you're not happy. You may get what you want, and therefore you are happy. You may get what you want, and it doesn't turn out to be what you thought it was going to be. Therefore, you're not happy. We're not talking about happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. We're talking about the joy of the Lord that transcends all circumstances. So we've already talked about what can rob us of the joy of the Lord. That is, if our faith wavers, our love for Him fades, and our trust in Him wavers. But I've got a list of things. It's not an exhaustive list, but these are some of the usual suspects that will cause us to lose our joy, the joy of the Lord. Number one is disobedience to God. And this will be the things that are taught in the Word of God, things to do and the things not to do if you're in disobedience to His Word, and if you are in disobedience to His Spirit that leads you according to His Word and according to His will. If you are in rebellion to God, if you are in disobedience, if you allow fear or doubt or questioning to change your course of action and your course of thinking, as opposed to the will of God that is what guides you and leads you, as long as you maintain your love and trust in Him, well then, obedience to God will allow you to remain in His joy, but disobedience to Him and His Spirit, well, joy will flee from you. Another thing that will rob you of your joy is fulfilling your lust. Now, you think of lust and you'll think they have a sexual connotation, but lust is anything that you allow your spirit to drive you to go after. Anything of your flesh, what I meant to say, anything of your flesh that is opposed to the will of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God that you chase after, that you desire to have. If you are drawn away of your own lust, enticed, and you chase after your lust to fulfill it, whatever it may be, you know, you can fill in the blank. Whatever it is that is in direct opposition to the will of God is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if you are chasing after a lust or trying to fulfill your lust or trying just to get something that you want, something that you are going to have, and you say, God, whether you want me to have it or not, I'm going to do this. I want this, and I'm going to go for it. You're either chasing after, trying to fulfill that, which is idolatry, which is anything that you put above God, in more importance to God, or you have fulfilled that lust. You have got what you have been looking for. And now you're filled with guilt, hopefully, shame, and definitely disappointment, because anything that is not of God is not fulfilling. You'll realize why you shouldn't have been chasing it in the first place. But even if you have chased after it, even if you have gathered it and you have captured it, and now you have obtained what you have been looking for, and hopefully you do feel the shame and the guilt and the chastening of the Lord, all you have to do is say, God, I messed up. I turned my back on you. I decided to go my way and chase after this thing, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please lift me back up. Hand that over to him and say, this is not for me. I don't want it anymore. Please help me to stay strong for you. Help me to stay dedicated to you. It's never too late. It's never too late if you stumble and fall. Only the devil says you're not worthy to get back up, stay down. It's the Holy Spirit who says, come on up, son. Get up, you can do this, and he will lift you up every time. The only defeat, true defeat, is to stay down. Always get back up. Another thing that can rob us of our joy is a lack of forgiveness, and this is threefold. The first is the obvious, is your inability or your unwillingness to forgive somebody who sins against you. If you refuse to forgive somebody, then you will be stuck right there, and your joy will flee from you. Now, yes, I understand that you're not at fault. Somebody has sinned against you. Somebody has wronged you. And you didn't do anything wrong. You were just minding your own business. But they have now forced you to make a decision. They have now forced you to be obedient to God's word, which says, thou shalt forgive every man his trespass. And we must choose to forgive, and we must choose to forgive wholeheartedly and quickly, because we have the ability to quench that fiery dart. We have the ability to purge iniquity. We have the ability to forgive and to keep that hurt from spreading like wildfire and grabbing a hold of us and consuming us. We have the ability to stop it right then. But if we do not, our joy will flee from us. Even though it wasn't our fault, it is our fault if we choose not to forgive. And the other part is, if you do sin against somebody or you sin against God, you must confess your sin. You must ask for forgiveness and be willing to repent from your sin, which is turn away from your sin. You've got to ask forgiveness from God. You've got to humble yourself before him truthfully and humbly and make sure that you are forgiven and things are right between you and God so that your joy can remain and can return. And the third part is making sure that you ask forgiveness from the person you have wronged. If at all possible, for you, live at peace with all men. I know things aren't quite possible sometimes. I know sometimes you don't have the opportunity to ask for that forgiveness. Well, you take that to God. But at all possible, you make that right with that person, because it is better for you to have a millstone put around your neck and you thrown into the ocean than you cause any of these young ones that believe in me to stumble. It is your obligation to make sure that you ask for forgiveness. Humble yourself before that person so they can forgive, so they can be free. You don't want to be the reason why a person stumbles and falls from their relationship with God, the church, you. It is very important for reconciliation. So these things are very important. A lack of forgiveness will rob you of your joy. Another thing that will rob you from your joy is a lack of trust in God, also known as complaining. If you are complaining, you are doing one of two things. You're either talking badly about somebody, which God, the Bible tells us not to do, or you are accusing God for not being just, for not being loving, for getting it wrong, for not being caring. It's a lack of trust in God if you complain about whatever it is. It shows a lack of God in saying, God, I think you've done this wrong. I don't think this is fair. I don't think this is right. And you lose your reverence for God and your love for God and your trust in God. This is an example of losing your trust in God by just simply complaining about things that God knows a lot more about than you do. A final thing that can rob us of our joy is loneliness. Some people can't help this. Some people are shut in their house and they can't get out. That's where the church comes in, to go and visit people, to help people, to give somebody comfort and joy, and to share the love of God with somebody, to bring Jesus to them. That's where we come in. But there's others who choose to be by themselves, choose to isolate themselves from other people. You'll come to church, but maybe during the rest of the week, well, you'll stay home and you'll say, well, all I really need is God. You know, me and God, we're good. That's all I need. And it's true, that is all you need. But the problem is, it's about other people. It's about you showing God's love to others. It's about you helping others. That's what brings you joy. If you want joy, you give joy. If you want love, you give love. If you want peace, you give peace. If you want forgiveness, you give forgiveness. It's not about you, so don't isolate yourself. Don't say you don't need people. People need you. And you need people more than you may care to admit. God has made us to love. He has created us to love and to be loved. It is our obligation to love others. To love others. So you heard my thoughts. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Turn to Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. The first point, if you want to have the joy of the Lord, is to trust and love the Lord. We've already gone through this. If you can maintain an absolute love for God and an absolute trust in God, you don't have to worry about losing the joy of the Lord. It will carry you for the rest of your life and on through into eternity if you would truly love and trust God. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 5, starting in verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Point number two. All you need is point number one. Everything else that we talk about from here on out would fall into place if you maintain love and trust in God. Point number two is this. Be faithful despite your oppression, despite your circumstances. Psalm 43, please turn to. Psalm 43, verse 1. And if you don't want to turn, you just feel free to listen because I have much scripture. God has a lot to say on this. Psalm 43, starting in verse 1, the psalmist says this, Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. So instead of being led and guided by your fear and your doubt and your worry, let the Word of God, let His light and His truth, let them guide you. Not your doubt, not your fear, not your concern, not your worry. Let the light and the truth guide you. Then will I go unto the altar, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. And he asks again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He is the health of your countenance and your God. He is the lifter up of your soul. He is the lifter up of your heart and the lifter up of your head. If you will trust in him, his joy will flood your soul. Why is your soul cast down? Why do you worry and fear when the hope of God is so evident in his word? And we confess that we trust in the Lord and we love in the Lord, and he is faithful and just. And he loves us and is all powerful. He is the God of all creation, the God of heaven and earth. Why do we worry? Why is our soul cast down? Next point, if you want the joy of the Lord in your life, is to simply worship the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95, starting in verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his good hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, talking about Israel, remember? When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long I was grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. God forbid that we lose trust in God. God forbid that we question God and we fear and worry. Instead, do this. Starting in Psalm 96, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. For he is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty in his sanctuary. Let us not forget who God is. Who do we confess God is? Well, let's treat him like it. Let us treat this life like it. Let us understand that he is the great God, all eternal, all loving, all magnificent, and he holds us in his hands, his loving hands. He cares for us more than we can ever know. He wants us to abide in his joy continually. That is his desire. Another point, how you can have the joy of the Lord is to rejoice together with God's people. Turn to Psalms 111, if you wish, starting in verse 1. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Don't worry. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise the Lord with your whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, because the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein. That's you. Get together with your people, with the people of God, with like minds and like hearts. Praise the Lord together. Do his mighty works through you, through each other, for each other. You want to see the hand of God move? Get together with his people and rejoice together. Give unto people, love people, rejoice with people, help people, lift each other up, and you'll see the mighty hand of God work in his church. The church will be lifted up. There will be no neglect. There will be no sorrow. There will be no heartaches, because his people are lifting each other up. And it's the Spirit of God that dwells within all of us, who is working his will through us to lift up his church, and you will see the joy of the Lord. One more point. If you want the joy of the Lord, is you are to humble yourself before the Lord. Turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, starting in verse 1. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, that's the church, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now this, the psalmist is talking about the church, or Israel, or any individual who has turned away from God, who has given in to their lust. They have been drawn away from the Lord, and they have been enticed, and they have turned away from God. The love of God has wavered. Their trust in God has been shaken, and they have fallen into darkness away from God. And this is when this person has come, this church, Israel, the country, whoever it is, it's all applicable. This is when they humbled themselves before God, called out to God and said, Lord, forgive us, lift us back up. And he did. And they said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of us, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter again. Well, verse 4 says, Turn again our captivity, O Lord. We did it again, Lord. I did it again. I'm sorry. I stumbled in the same old hole. I did it again. Father, please forgive me. I was wrong. Thank you for your unmatchable mercy and your grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Don't stay down. You get back up. You get back up when you fall down. When we walk in darkness, when we walk out of the will of God, is when we can't see the potholes that we keep tripping in. And you generally trip in the same one, but if you keep your eyes on God and you walk in the light as he is in the light, you can clearly see where the pitfalls are. You can clearly see the wiles of the devil who is trying to trick you. But when you can clearly see in the light of Jesus, you have no worry. Your footing is secured. Verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sorrow that leads to repentance is godly sorrow. It's okay to weep. It's okay to cry. It's okay to humble yourself before God and people. It is the greatest means by which we heal emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. So go ahead to cry. Be a man and cry. Come on, it's okay. It's okay. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Humble yourself before God. If you are in captivity, if you have been enslaved and ensnared by the sin that so easily besets you, whatever that might be, that sin that you have already been freed from, that has no power over you, but it is like the proverb says, the dog has returned to his vomit, the pig that was washed has returned to the mud and mire. It happens. Sometimes we are enticed and we are tempted and we give in to it. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. But if you have ensnared yourself once again, always look to God and He will free you. He will free you from your captivity every time. All you got to do is humble yourself before Him. Another point, if you want the joy of the Lord in your life, is to commit yourself to God. Now you've humbled yourself before Him, now commit yourself to Him. Now commit yourself to Him. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, starting in verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That is a very key verse in the Word of God. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This means two things to me. First of all, go back to verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. A man's conscience can be seared if we go our own way, if our love for God fades, if our trust in God wavers, and we can begin to do things on our own accord, listening to our own self. Sometimes if our love fades for God, we'll listen to the things where our affections have turned to. And if our fade begins to waver, then we'll start to listen to our fear and our doubt, and we may be pushed to go in a different direction other than the will of God. But if you will commit your works unto God, your thoughts will be established. If you do the things that you know the Word of God says for you to do, you do them, and your thoughts will be established, because then your conscience will not be seared anymore, and now the information that you are getting through a pure conscience from the Spirit of God, you know that it is leading you in the right direction. Commit your works to God, the things that the Bible commands us to do, and your thoughts shall be established. But it also means this to me. Sometimes we get out of the will of God, and it gets kind of easy to stay out of the will of God and just do our own thing. And sometimes you get convicted, but we still don't have the will to do it, because that's what is lacking, after all. It is our will, because God does not dictate our will. And sometimes we want to. Sometimes we pray for God, give me the desire to do this. If I just wanted to do it, I would do it. You've got to commit your works to God first, and then the desire will come. He wants to know if you will obey Him out of a reverent heart. He wants to know if you will trust Him. He wants to know if you will love Him. He's not going to make you love Him. He's not going to entice you to love Him. He has given us His command. He wants to see if we will love Him out of an obedient heart and obey His commandments. So commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. You've got to take the first step in this case. The ball is in your court. You take the step into the water, then the waters part. One final point, if you want the joy of the Lord in your life, is to return. Oh, wow, let me go back. I just missed a whole scripture. This is lots of good stuff. Let me get back here. I'm sorry, I could preach a whole message on this part. Verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is of a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. This is another very important scripture right here. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We hit on this a little bit earlier. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. How is iniquity purged in our life? God forgives us. That is how that iniquity is purged. Well, we can purge other people's iniquity. We can stop that iniquity from spreading if we would just simply forgive and show grace. Paul said this, if I have forgiven any man, I have forgiven him in the person of Christ. All forgiveness is from God. We are just a vessel in which He forgives people through us. But we have to be the ones who are willing to allow that to happen. It is all the Spirit of God who is doing the forgiving. So what I'm saying is, and what Paul is saying is that when we forgive it in the person of Christ, and that person is forgiven because Jesus has forgiven him through us. We have the ability to purge iniquity and stop somebody's sin against us from spreading and causing a cancer and causing a great wildfire. We can purge that right then. We can say, I don't want nothing to do with that. I forgive you, my brother. I don't care. You are forgiven. And you don't have to let that rob you of your joy. When a man's ways, verse 7, please the Lord. Well, I'm finished. No, I'm not. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Well, imagine that. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I heard something about that this morning. If you were here, you heard this too. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Bible says only a fool says, I'm going to do such and such this year. Only a fool tries to guide his own steps. We can direct our way, but if we are not, God directs our steps no matter what. No matter what we think we're going to do, God directs our steps. If we have determined that our way is going to be here, and God directs our steps this way, well, then we begin to doubt. We begin to question God. We begin to wonder what is happening. We can't see beyond anything. That is what the faith and trust in God is. It's like we heard this morning. God shows us a light where to step, and we step in that light. We take that step, and we wait for the next step. We let God direct our steps. One final point, if you want the joy of the Lord in your life, is return to your first love. We're getting right back to loving God with all of our heart. I'm telling you, it's love and trust in God. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord! Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. God is so deserving of our praise and our love and our trust. He has proved himself time and time again. It's truly up to us to do what we ought to do. I want to make an application to you. Have you all been on the mountaintop before? Have you ever been to a place where things are just great? Where God is so evident? Where your faith in Him is so strong? And there is no doubt in your mind that He's got everything under His control. You've got joy flowing within you. Your trust is at a heightened level. Have you ever been there? If you have, that is an absolute gift of God. That is Him saying, Yes, I do love you. Yes, I do have everything in my hands. Yes, I do care for you. Yes, you're okay. And everything is going to be okay. It's like the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw the glory of God, and now there was absolutely no doubt in their mind, at least for that moment, that Jesus is Lord. And God is triumphant and He is mighty. But what did they do when they left the Mount of Transfiguration? They went back down the mountain. We don't stay long on a mountain at all. Most of our journey in this life is either climbing a mountain or going back down the mountain or spending time in the valley. But when we're going down the mountain, up the mountain, in the valley, we have to remember what we saw on top of that mountain. We have to understand and remember what we taught and what we were seeing on the mountain, because it's still there, even though we can't see it. We have to live our life as though we know that God is present and He's got everything in his hands. We don't stay on the mountain because this is our time of testing. This is when we prove our love to God. This is when He lets us know within ourselves where we stand with Him, where He stands with us. He wants to know our hearts. He can see our hearts. He wants us to know our hearts. He wants to see what we will do with limited information, with limited knowledge, with limited everything. He wants to see if we will use faith. He wants to see if we will love Him. He wants to see if we will trust Him, even though we don't have the answers, even though we don't have everything that we believe we need. He wants to know. He wants to see. This is our time when we prove Him, when we prove our love and our trust in Him. Faith sees best in the dark. When you're on the mountaintop, you really don't need faith because everything is so clear. But when you get out of view, so to speak, of what you saw on a mountain, now faith is required. Diligence is required. A commitment to God is required. If we are only useful to God when we're on the mountaintop, we're missing the whole point. We're missing most of our life in this time with God. We are to bring that with us. We let the joy of the Lord carry us all the way up the mountain, down the mountain, through the valley. This is the time when our testimony is the greatest. This is the time when people see us in a valley. And there's no reason for us to be happy. There's no reason for us to be joyful. There's no reason for us to be hopeful. It's like Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Well, sure, he serves you. Look at what he's got. You have blessed him beyond measure. Why don't you take what he has away and see what happens? Have you considered my servant Job now? Have you considered my servant Jerry divorced? Have you seen the contraction that he walks around with? Have you seen his health problems? You would think that he would be completely devastated and in mourning and doubting and questioning God. But if you saw him Wednesday evening after church, you saw him dancing. Why? What is the reason of his hope? How is he able to dance in the midst of all of this trial and tribulation? That's the joy of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord. Have you considered my servant Carolyn Spradlin? Have you seen the difficulty that she goes through? But have you visited her? Have you gone to try to lift her spirits? And she lifts your spirits by demonstrating and maintaining such a love for God and a faith in God that you walk away and say, wow, I have no excuse. Have you considered my servant? I can go on and on. There are people in this church. We have heroes of faith right here among us. People who have trusted and loved God all of their life, and they're going through such horrible tribulation and things that would just make us cringe. But you know what? With them, it's not so bad. Because that's the joy of the Lord. It gives you strength. Don't consider and plan for the next time you're on the mountaintop to do something for God. Maintain your reasonable service always. Always. When you're in the valley, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 through 9. Remember this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 through 9. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is not something that we have within ourselves, in and of ourselves. It is the Spirit of God who dwells in us if we will maintain a love and a trust in Him. That is what makes this possible, is the Spirit of God. Verse 8. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We can have trials and tribulations. We can have things come against us that seem insurmountable. But we are not distressed. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He will never leave you and forsake you. He is a mighty God, full of love and compassion. And He is working all things out for our good, for those who love Him. We are not in despair, even though we may be troubled. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We may have questions. We don't know everything, and God has ordained it that way. We can't see the future. We can't see what's going to happen. We don't know. But we are not in despair, because we have hope, an everlasting hope. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. We will be persecuted. Be joyful in your persecution. Know that you're building treasures in heaven that are everlasting. God will sacrifice your temporary to secure your eternal. He will do that because it's for your own good, and He's working all things out for your good. You are never forsaken. You're cast down, but you are not destroyed. We have a promise of eternal life, no matter how far we may be cast down. Do not worry. Do not lose hope. Trust in God. When God says, jump, son, I'll catch you. I promise you I'll catch you. Don't worry. It's disappointing to Him when we don't jump and say, God, I just don't think you're going to catch me. He says, jump, son, I'll catch you. So we jump. And we say, that was fun, God. Let's do it again. Trust in the Lord with all of your might. Trust in your Lord with everything you've got in you. When we sing in the valley, when we maintain our reasonable service in the valley, when we are faithful in our work in the valley, then we have come to understand that the joy of the Lord is indeed our strength. Do you desire to know the joy of the Lord? Do you desire to continually abide in the joy of the Lord? Then I say, come get it. Humble yourself before God. Be willing to understand the reason why your love has faded, why your faith and your trust in God has been shaken. Be willing to, with an open heart, for God to speak to you and say, this is why you don't have joy. But if you already know, humble yourself before God. Find your joy. Get your joy. Abide in the love of Christ. If you would, please stand and bow your heads. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and God desires that you walk in His joy, that you have joy, that you have joy in your life, that there is nothing that can shake you, there is no pain that can knock you down, there is nothing that can make your joy, your faith, and your love in God waver. There's a hope that you maintain throughout your day, throughout your life, that there's an eternity waiting for us that makes any trial and tribulation, pain, suffering, persecution worth it. He wants you to go through this life without fear, without doubt. He wants you to have joy in the midst of tribulation. He wants you to have joy in the midst of pain and trials. He wants you to have joy, and you can have that. It's a promise of God. It is conditional on your love for Him and your trust for Him. So I beg you, I challenge you, humble yourself before God. Seek out His face and His will. Seek His Word and His Spirit.